opener since 1959 in Ogden, Illinois. Today's broadcast is made possible in part by a grant from REMAX Realty Associates, currently handling over 30% of the real estate sales transactions in Champaign County. Information at 352-5700. REMAX encourages you to join them in supporting public broadcasting.
And this is Focus 580, our morning telephone talk show. My name is Jack Brighton, sitting in for David Inge. Glad you could listen. During this hour of the show, Rich Warren joins us. He's our resident expert on consumer electronics, and we'll talk about what's new in that rapidly expanding realm of digital audio, video, and convergence and all kinds of stuff going on. It's practically impossible to keep up on things, but Rich does the best job he can and has some very trenchant observations about the meaning of all this stuff for us as people who consume audio, video, and do hopefully useful things with it in our lives. We'll take your questions during this hour. All you have to do is give us a call, 333-9455. That's the Champaign-Urbana number. We also have a toll-free line anywhere you can hear us. That is 800-222-9455. Any questions about digital radio or HDTV, possibly portable MP3 players, and we'll talk about some of the grand schemes that the manufacturers have to transform our lives as consumers of electronic stuff during this hour. So any questions are welcome. Rich, good morning.
Good morning, Jack. You know, I've been sitting here doing this show with you or David since, it's been at least 15 years now. When I first started doing it, it was so simple. It was so easy. I talked about audio gear and video gear and camcorders, and there wasn't that much selection, really, and it was so simple to tell people what to get, and it was easy.
Yeah.
Now I wake up every morning dizzy, and I go online, I read my sources, and I get some products review occasionally, and it's like there's no differentiation whatsoever between the world of entertainment and the world of computers. It's all one digital, as I say, bits is bits, and everything now is digital. Analog is basically history. And unfortunately, digital, which has a lot of promise and a lot of good, is really ripping off the consumer. The whole concept of this conversion to HDTV, I think it's been handled rather poorly. I think that the electronics industry and the broadcasters, even though the broadcasters have invested a lot in converting, are going to make out like bandits ultimately with this. And yet the consumer is going to get a government subsidy to buy a converter box. Now, why should our tax dollars be going to subsidize these converter boxes when it really should be the electronics manufacturers who are going to make a bundle? Because they're selling you a new TV when your old TV may only be 3 or 4 years old. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's outrageous. And the fact that these boxes shouldn't be costing what they're costing. Go out to one of the big box stores and try to buy a converter box. I dare you. You probably won't find one. And if you do, it's going to be prohibitively expensive. And there's no reason for that. And there's only a couple of companies even making these boxes. And now apparently they're making them for the government and stockpiling them so they can hand them out when the conversion comes in 3 years.
This is the converter box to go from digital to analog.
Exactly.
So you receive a digital TV signal to play on your old analog TV.
Right. Now, of course, if you have cable, you may not need that because the cable company will do it for you and charge you an arm and a leg to do it.
Yeah.
But it'll come in on the cable eventually. And satellite TV is already digital, so that's already a converter box right there. The whole thing is absurd the way we're handling this, and it's now less than 3 years supposedly till the analog spectrum goes dark, although there could be some more glitches in the road. But the bill was signed, I think it's in February or March of 2009. We're supposed to have everything out of the way. And it's a wonderful thing. And then the other issue is, so when we all go digital, they've mandated this internet connecting cable called HDMI, was it high definition multimedia interface, whatever. And it's great because it's great for the consumer. All the audio and video is on one small cable, and it solves all this plugging thing. But it also means that you can't copy anything, that there's no analog outputs any longer. You can't even copy to an old VHS VCR. There's no way to get to the signal any longer. It's sealed, basically. So with every good thing, they've taken something back. And it's just, I was just talking to one of your engineers here at WILL, and the conversion to digital radio has its problems, and that this is supposed to be this great new thing, and now they're finding it doesn't penetrate buildings very well. So, you know, it's an absurd progression we're involved with in this world. And there's this whole contrast between the rights of content providers. Now, I fully side with the people who create the music and distribute the music, and even the greedy record companies, they have a right to make a profit. But they're taking it out of the consumers. Rather, most of the piracy, most of the the drain on their earnings is coming from mass duplication, illegal duplication overseas in various countries, China, Indonesia, Brazil, whatever. And that's where the big problem is. It's not in people giving a copy to their kid or their grandmother or whatever. And I really resent the fact that, as I wrote in the paper last week, or was it this week? I've lost track. Where satellite radio, for example, they were going to offer a service where the new satellite radio receivers just hitting the market now, from XM at least, allow you to record 5 hours of satellite broadcast. Terrific. So mm-hmm. you've got a storage of, you know, if you're not within range of the satellite or whatever, and then you will be able to listen to it. But they built in a feature where you'd be able to select if you want to hear all the songs that Bono has in that 5 hour period. You know, you can do that, or all the things from the Cleveland Symphony Orchestra, or whatever.
You can search for them.
Yeah, you can search by song yeah. type or title or artist. Well, the recording industry says that is just, it's ripping them off, and they want to prevent it. Or if they don't prevent it, they want you to pay for it, or at least the satellite companies to pay extra royalties to offer that service.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, well, you know, what's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with your finding a specific artist. And it's not going to hurt their record sales, because if you like that artist, you're going to buy the recording anyway, some way or other. You're either going to download it and, you know, buy it, or go
yeah.
out and buy the CD or whatever, because
yeah.
you'll want the whole CD or the whole album. At least I would think that you would. I mean, if I like an artist, I don't want just one song.
Mm-hmm.
So it's getting ever more complex.
So let me get this straight. So you're paying the Sirius or XM Radio a monthly fee for access to the service, in addition to buying the receiver, of course. And so then you receive the content through your XM or Sirius Radio, and you can save 5 hours of material. But now they want to charge you if you actually search that five-hour block of stuff, or prevent you from doing that. But you're already sending them. Through Sirius, they're licensing the content in some way. So the content creators are getting money from these systems already.
Yeah, the content creators are claiming, well, we didn't know they were going to do this when we set the fee, and obviously we set the fee too low, so we need to make more money.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not an accountant. I don't know exactly where each penny goes, but it just seems it was so much simpler in the old days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know, I used to complain about people making cassettes, and it was proved that people who recorded cassettes actually bought more albums.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it could be the same way this way. And we live in a brave new world now of media, and when I go, you know, and search out information, I'm just astounded by some of the things I'm reading. And it's also the fact that I grew up when, you know, you're almost in that age group where the quality of the sound was important, when you got the best equipment you could buy. And,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
college dorm rooms, we try to outdo ourselves with super equipment. And now it's going the other direction. You know, how many MP3 files can you cram onto your MP3 player? And so you go down to the 96 kilohertz or even 128, which isn't very good quality,
mm-hmm.
with horrible earphones.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and so, yeah, like my iPod, I have it set for 192 or 196, whatever that higher rate is. In fact, I just raise it even higher than that so I can get some good quality sound out of it. But nobody seems to care anymore. So there's all these things that are occurring at once, and I just find it a very strange world we live in. And with HDTV, and again, one of your engineers has told me the standard definition channels on HDTV, you know, they're allowed to have five standard definition mm-hmm. channels in the space of one HD channel. They look terrible. And he should know. I mean, he's, you know, a broadcast engineer. And so there's another problem, that the broadcasters really want to do the five channels, not the HD signal,
mm-hmm.
and because they can sell more advertising. So we have all these things happening, and none of it's very consumer-friendly. So that's my statement for the month.
All right. Well, on that note, let's take a caller on the air. We are consumer-friendly here on Focus 580. And if you'd like to join our conversation, we're sort of on a rant about the direction of things, and we may continue in that direction. Or if you want to ask about something else, you're welcome to do so. Around Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. Toll-free anywhere else, 800-222-9455. Ranting is appropriate, I think, actually. Well, let's talk to someone in Bloomington, Indiana, line number four. Good morning.
Hi.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to decide whether to buy a standalone CD recorder or to buy a CD recorder as a component accessory of a new computer. I want to make voice CD recordings, and I want the capability to dub, to duplicate these recordings, but it's voice only with a microphone, a single microphone. I don't need a a lot of, and I'm not recording music. I guess when you record music, you need all those 8-tracks and multi-track stuff. But when I'm, as I'm recording voice with one microphone, I don't need but one track, do I?
Well, the tracks are not important. You can record music with just one or two tracks like stereo, but that's not really what you're asking. The standalone CD recorder, there's no learning curve. Basically, you plug the microphone and you push the record button. It's like a cassette player. And if you use CDRWs, rewritable discs, you can go back and redo stuff if you make a mistake. It's very simple, very easy, but there's no flexibility. You can't do any real editing. You can't make any modifications. If you go into a computer, there's a learning curve for the software, which is probably about a week.
Yeah.
And once you learn the software, you can do wonderful things of taking out mistakes and editing and things like that so that you don't have to re-record indefinitely to get it perfect. You can just cut out your mistakes and go from there and cut out pauses and any other thing that annoys you from your recording, and then just pop out the copies like crazy because you get 48 times speed. You can record an hour, you can copy an hour in about 3 minutes. So I prefer using the computer, even though there's a much greater learning curve and a lot more frustration initially.
Yeah.
In the long run, it gives you so much power to do what you want to do, whether or not you ever record any music. And so I would tend to recommend the computer because of simplicity ultimately, even though it's harder at the beginning.
Well, now, do you have any brand name preferences? Preferences for the accessory, that the CD accessory, does a given computer come with a specific a CD recorder as an accessory?
Yeah, you order the computer with the CD recorder built in. The CD burner comes built into the computer, and they, if you like get a Dell or a Hewlett Packard, they never tell you what brand they're sticking in there. It's just whatever they happen to get at 20 cents for the million of them. If you do it after you buy the computer, there's a lot of decent choices on the market for CD drives. But I think Plex Store is probably the best, and that tends to be more expensive. TDK makes a very good one at a modest price. But then you've got the hardware issue of actually installing it and configuring it, where if you buy it with the computer, they configure it for you. So basically, they probably will load some software that you can use, and you're off and running.
Okay. Would you say those two brand names again?
Well, if you're adding it on after you buy the computer, Plex Store, P-L-E-X-T-O-R, is considered the Mercedes of computer recorder CD drives. But TDK, for example, makes a very, very good one. Sony makes a decent one. I mean, most of them are pretty decent these days. So
it's probably least expensive to simply include the CD recording accessory when you buy the computer, isn't it?
Yeah, sometimes they throw it in for free. I've seen ads where Dell just gives you the CD drive if you buy the computer, or they charge you $20 or whatever, where if you buy it aftermarket, it's going to be $60.
Yeah.
In fact, I'd even recommend buying a combination DVD recorder and CD recorder. Even though you may never use the DVD recorder frequently, it's great for backing up your computer because it can hold a big chunk of data where CDs don't. So you can actually have computer backups on your DVD, which is a convenience, and that only costs another, either they throw it in or it's only $15, $20 extra premium for that.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. For software, you'd still need something to record your voice in the computer, and there are free programs out there like Audacity. I'll use SoundForge. I think you also...
Yeah, SoundForge is great, and they've got an inexpensive version of it, the basic version. That's, what, $60-$70, I think.
Right.
And I think there's even... I'm not sure if Adobe has released a budget version of Audition, which is the other really powerful program. But there's all kinds of inexpensive programs out there that give you... In fact, some of the computers are coming with... The drives come with pretty sophisticated editing programs now. When you buy... you get the Roxy OCD Creator or the Nero, which now have editing modules. So some of them just come with it. You just buy the whole burning package for $75 to $100, and in there is a module that gives you sound editing and enhancements and all kinds of stuff. But the SoundForge is really very good. It gives you a lot of power and a lot of choices, and you can add reverb and all that kind of stuff,
right,
even on the inexpensive version. Again, there's a learning curve, and let me tell you, I've been doing this stuff now forever. And anytime I get new software, I still spend a week pulling out my hair until I figure I have that ah moment where I said, oh, yes, that's how they want it to work.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're doing it. I bought a CD duplicator, which I'm writing about in the paper again in a week or two. And it took me a full week to get that thing up and running. But now that I know how it works, It's such a joy because it also labels the disc automatically, prints on the disc while it records, prints on the disc, and the little robot arm comes in and stacks the CDs up, and it's fabulous. But it took me a week to figure out how it worked. And they provide decent software. I wish the software, you know, I'm in the PC world, and apparently the piece of software they give you for Apple computers works a little more gracefully. So if you've got a Mac, you're probably a little better off than if you have a PC, because the software tends to be a little more user-friendly and a little bit more understandable from the start, rather than having to, you know, both of us are short of hair, Jack, and I don't know, but it's...
torn it all out by now.
Yeah, right, exactly. Computers can do that to you. I see you've got a full bank there.
Yeah, we do have, but I did want to mention, you mentioned Macs, because, you know, the stuff we said about audio editing was mostly related to the PC, the Windows side of things. But on the Mac side, things get even easier. And that's an area that I've been exploring more recently. And they've done a really good job integrating the software with the hardware. So I wanted to throw that in there.
That's true.
All right. Well, why don't we carry on? Actually, we are carrying on, aren't we? We'll go next to someone in Champaign County, line number one. Good morning.
I'll push a little further.
Okay.
I have a hardware question about a portable recording. But before I get to that, what about this on the iPod, on the Mac side? I don't know, maybe it isn't available on the PC side, but there's a subset of MP4 called AAC that is much better than the MP3. I mean, I've read for a lot many years, Rich, you're cursing the whole MP3 format, but there is something better, and can you not use it on your rig?
Yeah, in fact, I could, and also, frankly, anything's better than MP3,
right.
And even the Microsoft WMA compression scheme is much better than MP3. And, of course, on an iPod, you get to the point where it's not significant. If you use a high enough bit rating with MP3, you get a pretty good sound. But, yeah, the AAC is a much better encoding scheme, and one of these days I'll remember to turn that on and get out of the MP3 world altogether.
It's actually smaller. I mean, if you reduce your...
Right.
Reduce from MP3 to... which is a struggle, but I think you can automate it, too. But to just take a batch and change them all over to AAC, and you don't gain anything, obviously, but you do lose this intrinsic problem somewhat with MP3. But it's, as you say, it's better to start with it. Now, on recorders, I've been watching for a while, and I am an amateur recordist, both of music and spoken word, and I'm really without anything right now. Mini discs are fine for editing, but they seem to be a dead end. I'm looking for a hard drive recorder. I'm not averse to paying a premium for an Apple product necessarily, but their voice recording system is, except on maybe one high-end item that they've released, is still this 8 BPS... wave files, and you can't record in the AAC we were just talking about, even at a... So do you know of anything? I mean, I'd love to go for the Marantz flash memory, but I don't want to plunk down the $500. I was wondering if there's any... I've looked a little bit or tried to find some information about alternate operating systems for the iPod, which I understand are around, but I don't know how reliable they are and whether they would actually make it a better recorder. I don't know if you've heard anything about that, but is there anything you could recommend? Most everything is just playback, and to get into something, I'm willing to compromise on the musical fidelity just to have something that I can take around and record talks and interviews and that sort of thing.
Well, actually, Marantz isn't the only one making the compact flash recorders, and I think it's a company called Iderol, which is a division of Roland, which is a very well-known company, makes one that's about $100 cheaper than the Marantz. I'm not sure how many features it gives up, but it's a pocketable unit, and the people I've talked to at the mail-order place that I deal with say it's had a pretty good response from their customers.
How do you spell it?
E-I-D-E-R-O-L.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
And I guess I'm not supposed to plug places on the air, but I will. I've been dealing with a company, a internet and mail order company called Sweetwater. It's in Indiana. And they seem to have everything, and they seem to know what they're talking about, and they're pretty reliable. And I'm not going to say they're the only place that you can get this kind of stuff. Maybe if you look around in town, you might find a local music store that has them. But they're only like $350, and then, of course, you have to pay the $100 for a good size flash memory card. But for example, the Marantz will record. It doesn't record in AAC, but it records in every other format you could ever think of.
Right.
From ultra-high fidelity 192 sampling rate and 24 bits all the way down to the lowest MP3 file. So it has a lot of options.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There are a few others that, yeah. If you look at some of the music catalogs that are selling, you know, electronic musical gear, I think
M Audio has one, but it's,
M-Audio,
I've heard
right.
very bad things
really?
About it. Yeah,
okay.
On the internet, the comment, you know, in some of those reader, you know, what do you call them on the internet, people have not had a very good response to them.
You know, there might be, like, Zoom makes one, and I think a couple of, I don't know, I haven't.
I've been looking periodically, haven't looked lately, but it just, all everything seems to have one drawback or another,
and
bad reviews, and, all right, well, I'll keep looking.
Okay, good luck.
Next time I'll hear.
All right, thanks for the call. We're talking with Rich Warren this morning on Focus 580, taking your questions on consumer electronics, and we have several people waiting. I also want to mention Midnight Special, a show that Rich hosts actually at FMT, WFMT in Chicago, and airs here on WILL on Saturdays now.
At 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock, 2 to 4 p.m.
And I'm thrilled to be on WILL. It's also available on XM Satellite Radio on Channel 15. Mm-hmm. And before you go back to the phones, that's, I just want to say a thing. I bought a new car, and because my show's on XM, I decided to get XM with the car.
Yeah.
And I feel totally ripped off. I bought it from the local Toyota dealer. I won't mention the name, but you know there's only one local Toyota dealer. And first they wanted $600 for the XM module. Now, I know, since I've worked with XM, how much the module costs. I mean, the manufacturing cost is like $50 for this little passport module that goes into the car radio. Well, after dickering and arguing back and forth, they lowered the price somewhat. So I thought, oh, great, okay, this is, you know, still outrageously expensive for what I'm getting, but I want it. When I got it, I found out it wasn't the genuine Toyota XM radio. It was the dealer Kluge XM radio with a little tiny antenna on the rear package shelf, and the antenna is supposed to be on the roof of the car. When you buy it from Toyota as a Toyota option, you get the antenna on the roof of the car, and or Honda or whoever you know choose to buy it from. But this has an inferior antenna, so every time I go by a semi on the road, the signal blanks because it needs to be on the roof of the car.
Mm-hmm.
So, ladies and gentlemen, beware of your local car dealer and make sure you get the factory installed option if you want satellite radio. And the price is negotiable. So don't – when they tell you what the price is going to be, you're just going to have to tell them that's too much. So there's my statement for the week.
Okay. Well, very good. We'll go next to our Urbana listener, line number two. Good morning.
Good morning.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much for the Midnight Special, by the way. It's one of the best programs on radio, I must say.
You're welcome.
And I wanted to recommend, I've tried recording DVDs and CDs on computer, and I've always found it really clumsy. I did find, and I don't, they may be the only manufacturer that makes things like Yamaha makes a CD player that has a built-in 80 gigabyte hard drive that will let you record from any source, analog or digital, and it has analog and digital inputs and so forth. And it is, I find, relatively easy to work. Seems to have terrific fidelity. The only drawback is you have to use the special audio compact disc writable discs, which you have to look around for to obtain. They're not every place I've looked for them. I've been able to find them, but you go into Staples or someplace like that. And say I need some audio CDs, and they go what? And so you got to read the labels. But anyway, I just like to recommend for the fellow who called in earlier to at least consider it. It's the Yamaha, if I may say, the number CDR HD 1300.
You are so right about that. I saw it at the Consumer Electronics Show, and I totally forgot that it exists because Yamaha hasn't done much to promote it.
Mm. No, they haven't. I just found it by accident myself and have been thrilled with it ever since. It's a pretty good unit.
It's absolutely the way to go because you can record to the hard drive, and then you can't do the kind of editing you can do on a computer, but you can edit.
Right.
And so, therefore, you don't waste discs. You don't try to record onto the disc and make a mistake. You can edit from that hard drive and tell it what to put on the disc. And it's Yamaha's a good quality company. You know, they make a decent piece of equipment. And, yeah, I would agree with you, sir, that is a very good choice for somebody like our friend in Bloomington who wants to do what he's doing.
Carry on as you're doing, sir. Thank you.
Thanks so much for the call.
Bye-bye.
We have another listener waiting and some lines open. If you want to join us, we're about at our midpoint with Rich Warren talking about what's new in consumer electronics. Anything in that realm is fair game if you want to call in your question. 333-9455. 800-222-9455. Next up, someone in Sycamore, Illinois, line number four. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. Mm-hmm. I'm interested in finding a good quality digital TV tuner. I've got one that I got early on that seems to work fairly well, but it I've noticed one thing that's kind of annoying, and maybe this is just the digital transmission system by itself. We live in a marginal signal area, and sometimes the reception drops out, the system loses lock, or sometimes you start to get blocking in the video, and at the same time, you get mutes in the audio. And that is highly annoying, and I've actually wound up watching the analog version of public television from Madison for the audio and watching the digital video, because you can take little blockings and little glitches in the video, but having the audio drop out is very annoying, and the analog audio is a lot more robust. And I think you probably know what I'm referring to, and I'm just wondering if there was any plans in the works to make the digital audio more robust than its accompanying video, because at least you can hear what's going on, even when there's some impairments in what you see.
Actually, that's inherent in the system, and that's the way it's supposed to work, is that it mutes, because otherwise you get the audio equivalent of that blocking is horrendous noise. And they figure that you'd rather hear silence than hear the kind of digital noise you would get if they didn't mute it. So the specification calls for when the signal reaches a certain level to mute. That's even true in digital radio, and that's the way it is. As far as digital tuners, I really can't recommend any because there are so few on the market right now. It's amazing. Here we are 3 years from the transition, and if you go to one of the big box stores, good luck finding a digital tuner for your TV, and yet 80% of the TVs they're selling are still analog TVs. Without, you know, it says HD ready. Don't ever buy any product that says HD ready, because you're going to end up having to buy that box to make it HD or digital.
Right. Yeah, so, I'm entirely aware of that. And actually, I want to say to you and others that this unit will receive HD TV and convert it to NTSC format for display on a monitor. And even if you have a regular NTSC monitor display, HDTV comes out looking really good in it, because you don't get the vertical, you know, the number of scanning lines, of course, is fixed by your monitor, but the horizontal resolution goes way up, and it does indeed look far superior to a normal broadcast.
Yeah, it's like watching a DVD, basically, so it's sort of the equivalent of that.
Yeah, so it will be all really nice when it's all sorted out and straightened out, but for now in the transition period, it's kind of messy.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
Sure.
Thanks for the call. We had a question off the air, and I'll get right on to some more callers right after this. The question was, I've got an old TV tower by the house. Once digital comes, will there be any need for it?
Yes. Because unless you want to pay the cable company outrageous amount for their digital feed,
yeah,
you pop an old regular – first of all, TV antennas don't know the difference between analog and digital.
Yeah.
The antennas at Radio Shack or whoever sells are the same for analog and digital. It's okay. The same RF. The radiation is the same. It's just how you decode it. So you can pop over to the local Radio Shack and pick up a $40 antenna, and you've got the perfect – just like with analog, the higher the tower – the higher the antenna, the better the reception.
Yeah.
And if you want to put a rotor on it, because we have this strange problem here in Champaign-Urbana they don't have in Chicago, where one station is due east of town and another station is due west of town and two other stations are southwest of town and another station is north of town. So you sometimes need a rotor to get all the stations, depending on where you live. I mean, obviously, if you live in Mahomet, you got it better off because you can sort of point it in one direction and get most of the stations. Mm-hmm. But the tower is certainly going to be useful to you.
Okay. We'll go on next to an Urbana listener, line number one. Good morning.
Yeah, hi. Can we talk about particular brands and the upsides and downsides? Just share experience.
Well, what brands of what?
This is an MP3 player, and I guess I should preface my comments by saying that I regard myself as an adult, which means I don't listen to 3-minute songs. I listen to 1-hour downloads, such as the ones I get from WILL.
Oh, thank you.
And,
good.
But what that means is that I would like to be able to fast forward fast. I would like to be able to pause in the middle and come back to where I was. And I'm having a lot of difficulty finding an MP3 player that will let me do that. The other thing I'd like to do is to be able to record voice so that for some of the programs on WILL, if I can't be there to listen to them at the time, I can just plop the MP3 player down in front of a radio and have it recorded, you know, off the air, just the sound through the speaker, which is more convenient than having to fiddle with a bunch of wires. So I first bought a SanDisk, one of these things that sells for about $50. Those are the cheapy ones, and you plug the memory into them, the flash drive into them. You have to buy that separately, but that's okay because I can use that for other things. And it's pretty convenient to put the file on the flash drive, but the fast forward on the thing is really slow. And so I got rid of that one and bought. Well, the other thing it does is it eats AAA batteries like crazy. I didn't like that one very much. So the next one was the Zen Micro. That one fast forwards okay, but it doesn't reverse. If you try to back up fast, it will, and you hold. The way you make it fast forward fast is to just hold down the fast forward button, and it keeps increasing in rate as you hold it down. But if you try to do that in the reverse direction, all it does is go back to the beginning of the file, and then you have to start all over again.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing about the Zen Micro, it has a rechargeable battery, which is nice, but if you leave the battery in there, even though you've got it turned off, it starts to use up the battery. So you get into this activity that I've seen other people do where every time the battery is charged fully, you have to take the battery out of it, and then you have to store it with the battery disconnected from the unit. The other thing I noticed that is if I leave it plugged into the charger and try to record through the voice recorder while it's plugged in, as soon as the charge is full, it shuts it off, and that stops the recording.
Mm.
So I guess the bottom line here is that there is a market for a good MP3 player designed by adults for adults, and I don't see one on the market right now.
Well, you want a specific combination of features. For example, if it wasn't for the recording capability, I'm very happy with my iPod Nano.
Yeah, I think the iPod would be good. And I guess I just saw on TV last night that people are using iPods for voice recording, but there's some kind of a little accessory you have to
right.
buy for it.
The other choice, the brands that seem to have the most favorable reviews that I've read are some of the ones from Samsung, their Yep series, which seems to have fairly favorable reviews. I believe those record. And then some of the iRiver products seem to have gotten good reviews.
I see. Okay.
But I don't know which combination of features which product has because there's so many of them out there. I could not possibly keep track of them. I just know quality-wise, Samsung is a good company as far as quality.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, even with the iPod, after a week or two of not using it, the battery drains because it does memorize the position of the file, and it's a volatile memory which is kept charged by the battery. So
yeah.
you can't remove the battery, but if you could, then you would lose where it was stopped. So, yeah, so I just charge mine up every week, and I get about 12 to 15 hours per charge.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like it lasts a little longer. For the Zen, the battery only lasts about 2 days when it's turned off.
Oh, my iPod is at least a week, maybe 2 weeks or more.
Yeah.
So that's not an issue. The trouble is it's still a very immature technology, and only Apple gotten anywhere
yeah.
that – because every time I read a review in one of the audio magazines or the PC magazines – they always have to compare it to the iPod because the iPod seems to be the only one. I hate to give Apple the credit, but they seem to have gotten it right.
Well, they have more experience than everybody else. They seem to be ahead of everybody else, but yet they still got some opportunities for improvement there, let's say.
Well, yeah, as I said, it's an immature technology, and I think, you know, 5 years from now we're going to see some wonderful devices.
Yeah.
But they're still sort of feeling their way and their various patents they have to get around.
Yeah.
And battery technology has to improve, and all these things have to happen. And also how much you want to pay, because to get quality, you pay $200 or more for one of these devices.
I know.
And the $50, you know, I remember the SanDisk got reviewed and said it was the worst sounding player on the market, which, you know, for recording, Focus 580 isn't going to make a heck of a lot of difference because it's voice. But for anything else, it's going to be ear grating.
Yeah, right. Well, the other thing that I find, just to confirm your observation of it being immature, is that the instruction manual is just really poorly written for the Zen, and And I think that's, you know, that kind of goes along with it being immature.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that because I just bought a new car, a new Toyota, which comes with a 200-page instruction manual because the whole car has so many electronics in it now that you have to explain everything, how to set this, how to set that.
Yeah.
This is a company that's been exporting cars from Japan to the United States now for 40-some-odd years.
Yeah.
And the instruction manual still has what we call Japlish in it. Is there are still grammatically abhorrent passages that make no sense from a company that's been dealing with Americans and English. And believe me, English is spoken very commonly in Japan.
Of course.
And I still see this even in some Sony manuals, even though most of them are supposed to be written in the United States now. I don't get these manuals. And I agree with you that every time I get one of these manuals, they don't make any sense. But let me put it this way. You're lucky to get a manual because most products I buy now say you have to go online to their website
right. And
download the PDF of the manual.
Right. Yeah.
And that to me, well, what if your computer's not working? Or it's amazing if you use a product that is supposed to do something for your computer and your computer's down because you need that product and you can't get the manual.
Right. Yeah.
So, the manuals are a disaster and a disgrace, and that's how they keep the prices down because they don't have to chop down trees to make paper.
I guess.
And they assume that everybody's illiterate.
Technical writers.
Yeah, exactly. And they assume everybody's illiterate, so everything's a diagram now instead of good prose.
Yeah.
And it's very frustrating, and I agree with you that, well, I got the iPod. It had a little fold-out sheet of, you know, and just said, here, plug it into your computer, put your headphones in, play music.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, there's so many submenus in the iTunes program that you have to know about and how to program those. And what does this function do?
Right.
And what does that function do? And
so,
I agree with you that, boy, I'd love to see some better manuals out there.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for the call.
Yeah.
Next up, someone in Champaign, line number 2. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I was looking for a couple of decent and affordable wireless speakers for my room, and I found it extremely difficult to find. The reviews I see on the internet are disastrous for most of them, and they are sold in like large bunches as part of home theater systems that I don't need. I just don't need a simple audio stereo system. And on top of that, I wasn't able to find a simple CD deck to put on my bookshelf. Any advice? Thank you.
Yeah, it is amazing that nobody's making regular CD players anymore. You have to get a DVD player if you want a CD player, and that doesn't have all the features that you'd have a CD player. It's harder to find the tracks and things using a DVD player because they expect you to use the on-screen menuing of your TV. And in fact, I went out to buy some professional machines because I do my radio show at home, discovered there are only two professional CD players really left on the market. There's a Tascam and a Marantz and a Denon, the three of them, and that's it. And now as far as the wireless speakers, the technology for wireless speakers has improved dramatically in the past 3 years because they all use a variation of the Wi-Fi that's used with computers. And the trouble is that most of them are meant to be used with computers or part of systems, and I'm sure there must be some standalone ones out there, but I can't recommend any because I haven't tried any or seen any that use the newest digital technology because the fidelity is phenomenal. I was reviewing a home theater system that came with a rear channel wireless, which you could also use as a remote speaker around the house by flicking a switch on the front panel, just send a mono sound around the house. And I took it from the basement up to my office and heard terrific fidelity. I think it was a Panasonic system. And I was really impressed, or maybe it was a Pioneer. I forget which brand, but it was terrific. And I would bet they actually do package those speakers separately. But you do need the transmitter and everything. But the quality has improved dramatically over the past 3 years because I remember trying some JBLs out about a decade ago, and they were horrible because the transmission system wasn't digital, and you had all kinds of noise and distortion in the transmission. Now they've really fixed that using all digital transmission and the Wi-Fi spectrum the computers use. So, alas, I can't recommend a specific model to you, but look for something that definitely uses digital transmission in fairly good quality, and that's all I can tell you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks and good luck. We have one caller waiting and about 12 minutes left with Rich Warren, our expert on consumer electronics, taking your questions. If you would like to join us in the time remaining, 333-9455 around Champaign-Urbana. Anywhere else you hear us, 800-222-9455. Urbana listener, next line number 3. Good morning.
Hello.
Yes.
I have a I have a Sony Mini DV camcorder, and I want to be able to do some things where I just download the video directly into a DVD without any fancy stuff. And I was looking at a Sony DVD recorder VHS combination. I don't know what the number is, but do you know anything about that? And is that something I could get that's going to last for, you know, not go obsolete?
Well, everything, it seems these days, goes obsolete in 2 years. But
even I'm going to be obsolete someday.
I feel obsolete. You know, I've been doing this for 30-some-odd years now, and I wake up in the morning thinking, I can't go on another day with this because it's changing too fast.
Right.
The Sony makes a good product, and as long as it has the converters built into the DVD recorder, because, see, your mini DV records in a different format than DVD. So it has to be converted from more or less a full digital format to MPEG-2 to make a DVD, or now that you're using MPEG-4 as well. But the converter has to be built into the DVD recorder. So assuming it is, then you shouldn't have any problem.
It says it does all of those things. So,
yeah. Then you'd be fine just copying, you know, straight through. And especially if you're using the same brand, usually you can use the same remote control. And, I mean, Sony usually makes it possible to combine certain features within the brand, assuming they're relatively that's another whole can of worms we haven't discussed.
I also want to be able to just pull the sound off of the mini DV and put it on a DVD. I'd actually like to put it on a CD, but I don't know if there's any CD recorders. I borrowed somebody's Marantz. It's like a $700 machine, but it worked for a while, but talk about manual. It just lists what things are. It doesn't say how to do anything. It's really confusing.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think now if there are any of the DVD recorders out there that also record CDs. Now, on the computers, they do, but I'm not sure the standalone units
do. That. Yeah, I have a Mac, and that works all right. The only thing is, are there any mini DV playback machines? Because sometimes my wife uses it for her students, and she gives them the DV, mini DV, but there's no way for them to play it unless they have the same thing themselves.
Well, they do exist, but they're few and far between. It's just like when 8mm was the king of camcorder formats. There were to find an 8mm playback deck on the market, there were like three of them. And they didn't work. One of them didn't work very well because I had it.
These camcorders are mini DV, and I was just wondering why they don't have a player, because you have to use your camera as a player.
Yeah, I know it makes perfect sense, but most people seem to be happy just playing it back from the camcorder. So there are players out there, but there are not a lot of them.
Well, there's some expensive ones
for professional use. Yeah, but I don't think he wants to spend $1,500 and I'm sure that Sony probably makes some sort of, or Panasonic makes a budget DV player, but good luck finding it, because they just expect you to play it from the camcorder.
Yeah.
One final thing. I have a Mac, and it has iDVD on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't figure out how to make a straightforward DVD without all those silly themes.
Well, you're the Mac expert.
Well,
Jack.
Actually, I'm not the Mac expert. I'm trying to become more of a Mac guy, just because it seems like they've come a long way in the last couple of years. But on the PC side, that'd be pretty easy to do using something like Sony. The Vegas suite of stuff, including what's it called? DVD Architect.
Well, I wouldn't expect you necessarily know that, but I can't figure out how to do it without having to go through those silly themes.
Yeah, I don't know. Sorry.
All that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I did have one final thing. My Sony Mini DV camcorder. Every once in a while, it'll have a little sound that pops in there. It goes beep 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 beep. It sounds like a burring kind of a sound, and I was just wondering if.
Well, it sounds like the mechanism is a little out of adjustment. I wouldn't know unless I heard it whether it's actually something you need to have serviced, which is next to impossible, or just ignore it, that it's just a natural sound of that unit. So I really can't tell you. I feel like the doctor on the show here.
I'll send it to you and you can look at it.
Okay.
Thanks.
I'll just really look at it. Okay, thanks a lot.
Sure.
All right, thank you. A couple callers waiting. We'll go next to someone on a cell phone, line number one. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes.
I have a very simple question. I am looking for a good
intercom for a house that has a basement, two-story house, a garage, and an attached workshop. In other words, long distances within the house. Can you suggest any good intercom?
Well, sir, that's out of my expertise. I've never followed that particular division of audio technology, and nowadays I know intercoms are better than ever because the wireless ones use digital technology like those wireless speakers, and so you get a lot better performance than you did 10 years ago with the wireless intercoms, or you can have your contractor, of course, wire the system. Mm-hmm. But as far as brands and types, I'm afraid I just don't know.
Well, one thing that you could do, and I'm, again, hesitant to necessarily be proprietary about this, but Radio Shack has always been a place that has had intercoms, both wired and wireless. And then the other thing would be to go on the internet and just do a Google search for intercoms.
There's a guy in town that I use for all my in-house wiring. His name is Jesse Swinderman. He works Picture Perfect Sound out on Springfield, and he's just rewired my house three times, once for analog and now for digital. And this guy can put in wiring and knows what boxes go where and which plugs go where, and he never leaves a scratch in the wall after he's put the jacks and the outlets in and everything. And you might want to try to hunt him down, because at least he could wire an intercom flawlessly and probably tell you what to get on the side. But he's not in the business of selling the gear as much as doing the wiring, but he's great at getting it in.
His name is what again?
Jesse Swinderman, S-W-I-N-D-E-R-M-A-N, I think it is. My column a week ago, or is it this? I have lost track which week is which, but I think a week ago Monday featured him because he had done some wiring in my house.
And he is with what outfit?
He works through Picture Perfect Sound, which is a high-end audio-video store out on Springfield and Dunlap near Prairie Gardens.
Oh, okay. I know where they are. I do. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks for the call. Someone on line number four next in Crystal Lake, Illinois. Good morning.
Yeah, you may have mentioned this, but did Congress ever return the prime analog high speed, which would be nice for public interest programs? Did they ever return that in any bills since it's...
You mean the frequencies, the analog frequencies?
Yeah, temporarily they gave it to TV, et cetera, broadcasters, and they gave the analog till they got the digital established, and have they in a more recent bill ever returned that prime prime analog for public interest?
Talking about the public, the airwaves, the spectrum on the airwaves,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, there. That's the whole controversy right now. Is in 3 years when analog TV goes dark, those frequencies are supposed to go back to the government for auctioning off for all kinds of services, and enhanced cell phone services, enhanced emergency services for the police, and various other data-providing services. Bidding is already going on. They're going to raise an incredible amount of money, except now the broadcasters are talking about suing the government. They don't want to give back the channels, which is outrageous, because they were a gift from the people. It's our airwaves, although it seems like this whole country's forgotten that the airwaves belong to you and me and your neighbors and everybody else, and now it's...
You mean Verizon doesn't know? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, exactly. It seems like the airwaves are anything but ours, except in public radio and in public television. So they are supposed to give them back in 3 years. We'll see if it really happens, and then the government will pocket the money, but we won't get any enhanced services for free out of that. It's just going to go to the highest bidder who wants to sell us new things that we don't even know about yet, so...
Yeah, well, we wanted to go back to public interest because it would make our internet service cheaper, too.
Oh, it would, but I doubt it's going to do that. So,
well, this would be something that if you feel there's a public interest in ownership of the airwaves by the public, then there are people in Congress who should be informed of your view on that.
Yes, contact your representative to Congress and let him or her know that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks for the call. Well, we have about 3 minutes left. Anything remaining on the table we need to brush up?
Well, we've gotten really intelligent calls from all of your listeners. I mean, I really am pleased how many people are getting hip to this and want to discuss it, and how confusing it is for everybody. And, like when they first came out with these MP3 players, the sound quality, they got the chips that do the MP3, but the audio chips that did the amplification to the headphones were absolute garbage. And now Apple woke up one day and decided all the Apple units now have these improved audio chips where they actually sound reasonably good with good headphones. And it's amazing how it took them, though, 2 years to figure out that audio quality was important. And now some of the other companies are improving their audio quality as well, and some of them aren't, because it depends on what price you pay and how hip the company is and whether they make – like Samsung makes its own chips. In fact, the iPod is enabled because Samsung makes the basic chip that enables the iPod. They just can't use it for their own product because Apple, it's a proprietary thing that they're selling to Apple. But the memory chip, for example, they have a flat memory chip, which enabled them to make the Nano. It's a totally flat chip. And they couldn't have made the Nano without that. So there's a company that obviously knows what it's doing because it's making the basic chips. And then Apple buys the audio chip from somebody else who's making just the audio chips. And they have these special contracts that, no, you can't make it for Sony. And Sony's a company that totally lost it. Here's a company that had 90% of the portable audio market 10, 15 years ago.
The Walkman.
The Walkman. Yeah. And Sony was so rigid about, no, we have to keep the MD, the mini disc, alive. So rather than going to the whole MP3 world, they just kept flogging mini disc, which is a hopelessly obsolete system. And now they're running behind trying to catch up with everybody else and selling memory-based MP3 players. So it's a strange world out there. And even those of us, I love it when Celeste has Greg Klein on from the News Gazette doing computers, because he's always facing the same kind of questions, is that they really leave the consumer hanging. Every time you buy a product, there's no instruction manuals. It's not self-evident how it works. You're supposed to go on the web somewhere and find some instructions. And, you know, when you open up a box, you want to start using it right away. You don't want to go upstairs, boot the computer, go online, try to find...
Download new drivers or whatever. Yeah.
And, in fact, my iPod stopped working one day, and I called the store where I bought it, and they said, oh, you have to go online to the iPod site and go through this and connect that, and it'll reboot, it'll reprogram your iPod. Sure enough, it did. But I'm thinking, wow, I mean, you know, why did it stop in the first place?
Yeah.
So we live in a strange world now, and it's not as much fun as it used to be. I remember telling a friend of mine in 1978 how I was looking forward to this brave new world of, you know, Sony was, everything that Sony predicted in 78 is happening. They had a press conference. They were showing the interconnecting of audio and video around the house and, you know, and that stuff. And I thought, wow, that's really great. I'm looking forward to this. And now it happened, and I realized that it's just become a consumer nightmare because nobody knows how to interconnect anything anymore. And all we're going to end up doing is paying more and more and more. As this last lady mentioned, things that should belong to the people are being auctioned off to the highest bidder. And yes, the government will collect the money, which will help offset the deficit, but it won't be of use to you and me or your neighbors because it's going to be a high expensive service they're going to sell back to us.
Well, on that note, we'll have to leave it, but we promise we'll continue this conversation at other times. Rich Warren has been our guest over this hour. He is the consumer electronics expert we call upon to do these shows. He also writes a column for the Champaign-Urbana News Gazette and has a fine radio program in the Midnight Special that airs on WFMT in Chicago and also on WILL AM Saturdays 2 to 4 p.m. Rich, thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
Focus 580 is made possible in part by a grant from Bodywork Associates, offering licensed massage therapy to Champaign-Urbana since 1982. Bodywork Associates has opened a new office.